Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Nation, it's good to be back. Thank you once again for tuning in to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is back after 1 month away. It's been crazy. It's been hectic. It's been a wild January. It's been a wild 2013, period. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who has supported the show, to all of you who have listened in, and to all of you who have inboxed me and texted me about it. Thank you. Thank you so much. It means a whole lot. Can never be happy. Can never be happy enough. So thank you. I know it was a wild, crazy weekend for a lot of us, and for me, it was a rough weekend. It seemed like every team I picked to win lost, and that's pretty much been the theme of me being a sports fan this year so far. It seems like a lot of teams who I picked to win games have lost. It's just been ridiculous, especially in the NFL playoffs, some of the NCAA games, some of the NBA games, just been demoralizing to me. And going back to last year, really, it's been rough. It seems like when it comes to a Super Bowl game, an NBA Finals, the World Series, it has been demoralizing for me on a personal note. But we must live on. And I will say this, congrats to the Ravens organization for winning their second Super Bowl. I'm happy that Ray Lewis is gone, thankfully. Yes, I said it. I don't care. Not everybody worships everybody, and I don't worship no one but the Lord. So I'll leave that to some of the Ray Lewis and Baltimore Ravens fans out there for doing such thing. But it was a tough game. It was a tough physical game from both ends. Both teams really, really played good. I was happy that the 49ers put up a fight. It's their first Super Bowl loss in their franchise history. Prior to this weekend, they had gone 5-0, and some of those games weren't even close. So, again, I tip my hat off to the Ravens. One Harbaugh brother beats the other, and it had to have been tough for the family to see who was they going to console first, who was they going to talk to first, the winner or the loser. Well, in any case, somebody from the family won a Super Bowl trophy, and I think the other one, he'll win one pretty soon, maybe within another year or two. I believe the 49ers will get back to the Super Bowl. I'm counting on it. I think it's going to be a wide-open one, particularly in the NFC. I think some of these teams are really starting to kind of change a little bit. And what that means is it seems like every year some team just really steps up out of nowhere and plays good football. This year it was the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think anybody expected them to play good. I don't think anybody expected the Washington Redskins to be good, at least not this year anyway. So the NFC really took me by surprise, and mainly those two teams. In the AFC, I expect Denver to get back. That was my AFC representative. I've been a Broncos fan since the John Elway era, and that's been a long time. It was a long time ago, and I will say that I'm picking them to go back, and I think they will get back there next year. Well, I like to really, really start the top of this show by extending some birthday wishes, and we got quite a few of them. Well, first of all, I'd like to say happy birthday to one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. He was known as Captain Comeback. He was another Captain Comeback, not the original, but he was definitely one of the best, and he was just known for so many great games. Happy 70th birthday to Roger Staubach, the legendary quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Most people still consider him the best Cowboy quarterback in their franchise history. No disrespect to Troy Aikman. Just one of the greatest. According to NFL.com, he was rated number 46 on the all-time NFL player list. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1985. He's a six-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-NFC selection, two-time Super Bowl champion, five-time NFC champion. One of those Super Bowls, he was the MVP. He won the Heisman Trophy in 1963, coming out of the University of Navy. And not to mention, this guy also served time overseas before his NFL career started. So you really got to tip your hat out to this guy for going over there and serving for his country. He won the Burt Bell Award in 1971. He's part of the 1970s All-Decade Team, Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor, 153 career touchdown passes, 22,700 yards. Also ran for 2,264 and 21 touchdowns rushing. This guy was just phenomenal to watch. Of course, he was before my time, but one of my favorite Roger Staubach play has to be the Hail Mary against Minnesota. Some people say that the wide receiver was called for pass interference, but you can't deny the throw, the elevation that Staubach was able to do and how he was able to uplift himself from such adversity. This guy was just phenomenal. I'm happy for him and for all of his accomplishments, and he was great to watch. And if even if you weren't a Cowboys fan, you had to admire what this guy did. He was quite a model citizen, still is today. He is the man, always has been, and will continue to be the man. So I will say happy birthday to Roger Staubach, and again, amazing, just amazing. There's really no denying this guy for what he has done for the game of football, and I can tell you right now, people still love him today, and he should be. He should be. He was one of the greatest. Happy 45th birthday to Roberto Alomar, who is a former baseball player. Played for quite a handful of teams. He spent the majority of his career with the Toronto Blue Jays from 1991 through 1995. He was a 2011 Hall of Fame inductee. Congratulations to him on that. 2,724 career hits, 210 career home runs, 1,134 runs batted in. But he was widely known as a base stealer. He has 474 to go with that. This guy was such a great switch hitter, threw right-handed. He was the son. He's the son of Sandy Alomar Jr. Senior, who was a former All-Star second baseman with a 15-year Major League Baseball career. Alomar was quite a big-name player throughout much of the 90s. The 12-time All-Star, is a two-time World Series champion, winning both of those World Series with the Toronto Blue Jays, by the way. 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, 4-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He was the American League Championship MVP in 1992. He was the 1998 All-Star MVP, and he's also part of the Toronto Blue Jays' level of excellence, and he had his number retired, which is number 12. So congratulations on him. I got a chance to watch him growing up. He used to beat my Tigers a lot. I hated him, but I respected what he has done and what he has accomplished. This guy was just so amazing to watch. And again, congratulations on all of his accomplishments. And he will go down as one of the greatest. And it's certainly nice to see a player who played in the steroid era. And hopefully he hasn't been hooked on anything, and I will hate for that to happen to him. But congratulations and happy birthday to him, and keep on doing whatever you're continuing to do today, my friend. Happy 78th birthday to Hank Aaron. This guy, come on now. What didn't you like about him? Seriously, this guy to me is, he was one of my favorite, he's my favorite all-time baseball player as far as legends, the best ever. No disrespect to Babe Ruth or Joe DiMaggio or any of the other big-name players, but Hank Aaron was the man back in the day. This guy has done so much for the game. 25-time All-Star. I mean, seriously, this guy played for so many years, and he did so many things. And he's got a World Series under his belt in 1957. He's a 3-time Gold Glove Award winner, 2-time National League batting champion, 4-time home run champion in the National League. He was the 1957 World Series, the National League MVP. The Lou Gehrig Memorial Award winner in 1970 this is so great. You know you're great when you have your number retired by two teams, number 44 by the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's also part of the MLB All-Century team. He's got 755 career home runs, 3,771 career hits, 2,297 career runs batted in. Seriously. What can't you say about the guy? The guy was phenomenal. I had the pleasure of watching old highlights of him when they used to profile him on SportsCenter. I really enjoyed watching him, and I'm looking forward to future players really try to accomplish what he did. And believe me, what he's done really can never be matched, no matter what anybody puts out there, no matter what anybody else says. You can't deny what he's done for the game, and I'm happy to have witnessed it. And it's good to see that he's still here, by the way. So Again, happy birthday to you, Mr. Henry Hank Aaron. Many blessings to you and your family. And seriously, this guy was one of the greatest, and I'm happy to have at least watched old footages of this guy play, period. Happy 27th birthday to Lawrence Maroney, who is, well, technically he's out of the NFL right now. He's currently a free agent. He hasn't played since 2010 with Denver. He spent most of his career with the Patriots, who drafted him back in 2006 out of the University of Minnesota. He was the 21st pick overall. He gave them quite a bit of success. He really did. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 2003, two-time All-10 first team in 04 and 05. He was an AFC champion in 2007. He was part of that amazing Patriots 2007 regular season team before they got upset by the Giants in the Super Bowl that year. But as of right now, his career stats rank 2,430 rushing yards, 21 rushing touchdowns, 40 receptions for 409 career receiving yards and one touchdown. I would say to a lot of teams out there that's really looking for a back, I think they should give this guy at least a little bit of consideration because he is a good running back. He's good at catching passes out of the backfield. And one thing I've noticed is that running backs in the NFL now should be capable of catching passes out of the backfield because it really helps spread the offense around. And teams can concentrate on not just throwing the ball to their receivers and tight ends, but they can get the ball to the running backs. Because I've noticed how opposing defenses are more, how should I say, more wild and more explosive. They're quicker at getting to quarterbacks now, so you need that ace in the hole to kind of bail you out in certain situations. In this case, it's throwing screen passes to your tailbacks, coming out of the backfield, and they can get you maybe a good 6, 7 to 10 yards, maybe even more than that. So he was one of the good ones at doing that, and I hope that he gets another shot. This guy has been a hard worker. He's done some good things. He's been out of the league for 2 years now. I hope that someone gives him a chance. I hope someone gives him a chance. And seriously, I think that he will do some big things. And I think that this will some teams out there will give him a shot. So again, happy birthday to all those guys out there. And anyone who I didn't miss, happy birthday to you, to the ones who are still no longer here. Happy birthday. Big shout out. Blessings go out to you and your families. Tonight's show will be dedicated to this, not just necessarily the aftermath of the Super Bowl, but mainly looking forward to the 2013 offseason. And if you're a fan, a true football fan like me, the offseason is always exciting. It's always an exciting time because you never know what's going to happen, who's going to get cut. And I'm going to announce a few cuts personally. This one hits close to home. I'm going to announce that later on in the broadcast. But there's also going to be who's going to get traded, who's going to retire, who else is going to be a free agent. And there's going to be a lot of free agent players out there, namely from both Super Bowl participating teams, by the way. And we also have the upcoming NFL draft and we got the entire offseason to think about training camp and coaching changes. And, boy, were there a lot of coaching changes. See, I missed out. I missed out on quite a lot. A lot has changed in the past month that I've been away on air, and I'm telling you right now, it's been wild. It has been wild. The postseason was wild. All these new coaching changes have been wild. Even the Hall of Fame ceremony this past weekend was wild. So, a lot more of that will be discussed tonight. I want to take this opportunity to introduce, we have a caller on air before we take our break. So, caller, feel free to throw in your 2 cents. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. What's going on?
Hey, what up, though? What up, though? Mr. X repping that Fab Life Radio Show every Friday night at 7 and 9. What's good, my dude?
Good to have you on air tonight.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thank you for tuning in. So,
appreciate it, bro. You know, I had to just come by, you know, support you, you know, listen in.
And that's highly appreciated. Highly appreciated. And Thank you for allowing me to be on your show this past Friday. Your show has been really jumping off the chart. And for those of you who haven't paid attention and haven't watched, I advise that you tune in to the Fab Life Radio Show, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. Catch that Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a big show. It's a great show, too, by the way. Two outstanding hosts really doing some big things. So congrats to you guys. You guys doing it big.
You know it. You know it. You know it, but now, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Thank you for tuning in once again. I know you've been listening to the show up to this point, so go ahead. Feel free to throw in some things that you, you know.
I'm perusing NFL.com, and something has interested me, and I want to know what your listeners think about this. Can the Baltimore Ravens reverse the Super Bowl curse next season?
That's a good question. And as you know, we haven't had a back-to-back Super Bowl champ since the Patriots did it in 03 and 04. Also, most of these teams that have won the Super Bowl did not make the playoffs the following season. And
no, it didn't.
I think that in this day and age with salary cap and free agency and things like that, it's really tough to repeat. And it's really tough to be considered a dynasty. Now, the Patriots were able to pull it off so elegant because they maintained most of their core players. They kept all their guys under contracts.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to go out and get other pieces. They drafted well. They coached well. They played well on both sides of the ball.
I would add to that, Rocket, is, you know, that team got chemistry.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That team has
considering
chemistry.
Considering that, you know, you got a lot of egos out there and players who only play for contracts, only care about endorsements.
Right.
It's really tough to maintain a core team. But the Patriots have been one of those teams that have done it. They've been a rare team that's done it over the years. Whether people want to say bad things about them, you know, with the whole Spygate thing and Bill Belichick being a sore loser and things like that, people can say those things, but you can't deny what they've accomplished over the years. And, again, I think that it will be tough for them. First of all, everyone knows that Ray Lewis is officially retired. Joe Flacco's a free agent. Ed Reed's a free agent. So you got to re-sign those guys if you can. I know for sure that they'll bring back Flacco. Ed Reed, on the other hand, I'm not so sure if we'll see him in a Ravens uniform next year. He could ride off into the sunset too. He could also move on to another team. And I don't know if anybody caught this or not, but during the media day, leading up to the Super Bowl, someone asked Ed Reed if he could see himself playing for Bill Belichick, and he flat out put it, oh, yeah, definitely. So that's something else that you have to think about. And if I'm the Patriots, I want to reach out to him. I could certainly see him in a Patriots.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I could certainly see that happening. I'm not that big an Ed Reed fan, but I will say I respect the way he plays. He's a great playmaker at the safety position. And if you're Belichick, you certainly want to bring in somebody who can provide leadership to the secondary, someone who can make plays and take pressure off the defensive front and the linebacking core. So, granted, if possible, I say go after him and see what they can do. But going back to your question, I don't know. I don't know. They've already put out the polls right now that Denver, which is my AFC team, by the way, is the front runner for the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, and San Francisco getting back as the NFC representative. So I don't know. I don't know. I certainly didn't have them even getting past Denver in the divisional round. So I don't know. I don't think they can, though. I don't think they can. That's going to be tough.
I don't think they will unless like you said, they re-sign Flacco. Because I don't see them doing it without him.
And I think that when the worst thing that can happen to them is not getting a contract extension done with him, and he's eligible to move on to another team after winning the Super Bowl MVP award. Now, one other thing in this particular situation is their salary cap situation is not looking too good right now. So if they're going to re-sign him, there's a possibility that a pay cut may be involved to maintain.
Oh, yeah,
some
somebody
ain't
going to be happy.
Players. and things like that. That's
right.
Always one of the perks about winning a Super Bowl is that, or any championship period, is bringing back some of your big name and some of your core and important players.
Right.
And locally, I think back to when the Pistons won their championship back in 04, and most of their bench players were forced to move on. I remember when they had guys like Corliss Williamson, Mehmet Okur, Mike James. Those guys were not with the team the following season. And that had a lot to do with salary cap. That had a lot to do with trying to maintain their starters because that's what you had to do. They had to re-sign Rasheed Wallace to a big-time contract. They had to restructure some of the other players' contracts and things like that. So they brought back who they could. But it's always tough to bring back your free agent players, especially after you win a championship. That's just, you know, the way it is in today's sports. Back then, there was no free agency. So anytime a player didn't want to be part of a team no more or was on the verge of not being part of a team no more, you traded him, you know, first and foremost. So that's just kind of the way it is. And, you know, with the increase in money and salary cap and things like that, and not to mention what the NFL is currently going through right now with the whole the concussion syndrome, you know, with former players suing the league. So you got that to deal with. And if you're any franchise, if you're any organization, you got to think about the upcoming draft. You got to think about possibly reaching out to other free agents from other teams. Let's say if you can't bring in your own players, you know, you can go out and bring in somebody else or at least try to bring in somebody else. So that's one thing you have to consider. And in this league, one thing I've noticed is that players, you know, won't hesitate to opt out of their contracts and become unrestricted free agents or, you know, because they want extra money. They want to feel like
what the money is.
That's at their position, you know.
Right.
So that's one thing you have to consider. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can repeat or not, but I like to see them try personally, but I don't know. And even if they do bring back most of their key players, it's still going to be tough because, you know, you got to think about some of the other teams who are going to get better, some of the other teams who, you know, not necessarily are looking to win championships, but they are going to get better anyway because, you know, that's pretty much the whole process. That's how it works. Now, you got to look at their division. Pittsburgh will be back. Trust me. I think Cincinnati's going to get better. Hell, I even think Cleveland's going to get better. They've played well at times this past year, and, you know, when you're playing in the AFC, you know, you got to deal with all those other teams that are really going to get better and strengthen themselves up. So I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, so what did you think about the game itself? I want to know your opinion because I know you said some things on Facebook.
Well, you know, I'm part of the whole anti-Ravens nation. I'm not ashamed to say that. I really am not. I've been rooting against them for years.
Wear ham on them, though.
Because you know what? Let me just say this. People think that I just now hate the Ravens. No.
Right.
I hated the Ravens ever since they became an NFL team back in 1996 when they formed after being the original Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
And when they were in the first Super Bowl, the Super Bowl against the Giants, I was pulling for the Giants all the way. And I was so disgusted the way that game turned out, I couldn't even watch it no more. I was just so terribly pissed off. I mean, it was horrible. And it's funny because I didn't even pick them. You know, I picked Oakland that year, and then they beat Oakland in the conference championship, and I just started hating them a whole lot more. I've hated Ray Lewis for years. I never liked any player that went to their team or played for their team. And even the coaches, I didn't like anything that had to do with their organization. So it's funny because I was seeing a lot of these people on Facebook, you know, worshiping Ray Lewis for what he's accomplished and things like that. I'm like, come on, you don't have to worship somebody like that, you know, or even, you know, just because of, you know, the amount of emotion leading up to the game or anything, that doesn't necessarily mean that you got to, you know, emphasize that and everything. You know, because you never see me do that. I never do that on Facebook. I'll congratulate somebody for an accomplishment. I will say that, but I'm not going to worship anybody. I don't even worship guys like Calvin Johnson, who I truly, truly admire as a football player, but I'm not going to worship him. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be all on his jock or anything like that, you know? But I was just going hard last night because, you know, I just felt like, you know what, man, I can't believe what I'm watching. This is ridiculous. And then, you know, San Francisco mounted a comeback after that 30-minute blackout period, which, let me put this out here real quickly, just so everybody will know. It doesn't necessarily take something like that for a team to mount, you know, to mount a comeback. I think that San Francisco is too good of a team to blow out in a game of this magnitude like the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I think
you've seen that score, you know, it wasn't no blowout or nothing like that. You know, them boys know they was in the fight.
Right. But
it wasn't no easy ass whooping.
They were down by as many as 22 points in the third quarter.
Exactly.
And the thing is, when you have a team like that who is, you know, one thing I've noticed about them in the postseason, they've gotten off to slow starts and, you know, they'll start to mount a little bit of a comeback. You know, like the game against Atlanta in the NFC Championship. They were down as many as 17 points, and then they mounted a comeback, and eventually they won the game. So my whole thing is they are way too good of a team, way too physical of a team, way too well-coached of a team to even be in that deficit. And I really thought that they were really going to take it to them. I was pulling for them all the way. And, you know, I was just amazed at what I was watching. I think that Kaepernick playing in the Super Bowl was nervous. Let's just get that out there. Because he was drafted last year. It's only his second year in the league. You know, he's playing in the Super Bowl for the first time. You know, when you're a young quarterback, you're going to be a little nervous playing in a game like that. And let's be honest, you know, this is, you know, for most of these players on this 49ers team, it was their first time playing in a big game like this. So, of course, they're going to be nervous. Of course, they're going to have butterflies and be anxious and things like that. It's okay. It's understandable. So,
exactly.
So I can understand that. But, you know, I think that it was a good physical game. But do I think it's one of the best Super Bowls ever? Nah, not really. Not really. I've seen better Super Bowls, to be honest with you. I think last year's Super Bowl.
Man, I wouldn't even say that was my top 10, bro, because, you know, it was some spots of it, some parts of it didn't even have my attention. You know what I'm saying?
I think that, you know, some people will say in a game like that, people tend to be bored, people tend to kind of lose focus, especially when you're not playing up to higher standards. Now, last year's game between the Patriots and Giants was fully anticipated as a good Super Bowl matchup, which it was. It came down to the final minute. I felt more excitement from that game much more than I did this year's Super Bowl game. Hey, to be honest with you, I look back at the Pittsburgh Steelers-Arizona Cardinals Super Bowl. That game was much better than the one we saw over the weekend to me.
I would say I would say Super Bowl 40 is up there too. You know, that's when they did here, the Seahawks and the Steelers.
You know what? To me, when I look back on that game, I felt kind of dirty watching that game a little bit. And don't get me wrong, I was pulling for Pittsburgh, but I felt like the referees were really, really on Pittsburgh's side. I honestly think that they missed some calls. You know, but honestly, the Seahawks just didn't make enough big plays. But, you know, it was kind of bad. And Roethlisberger actually had the worst quarterback rating, the worst passer rating that a Super Bowl winning quarterback can have. But it was a good game. It was nice to have the game here. I got a chance to be there. I got a chance to watch it. It was wonderful. But the game that they played against Arizona was much better because it came down to the final drive of the game. And it was a beautiful drive.
Right.
You know, it was so great. There were so many accolades in that game. That, to me, that was one of the best Super Bowls I've seen over the years. Recently, the Saints-Colts Super Bowl, that was a great one. The Packers and Steelers, that was a better Super Bowl, to be honest. But, yeah. Overall, you know, it was a good game, you know, for most people to take. So I will say congrats, but I'm not gonna, you know, spill the beans or spill my guts all over that game. No, not at all. No, not at all. And I still remain unapologetic to what I said on Facebook the other night anyway, you know, just putting it out there. No. The Ravens organization, yeah, you won, but that doesn't mean I still like you, you know. You know, I'll give you mad props for doing what you do, but, you know, I'm not about to go all savor on you or whatever, you know what I'm saying? No,
right.
No, not at all. For starters, you beat my Broncos. So I'm still not over that, and I'm not going to be over that until at least next year if the Broncos can get back to Super Bowl and win it again. But no, no. And like I was saying the other night, I was really, really – I've been really, really angry as a sports fan, you know, dating back to last year, because it seems like a lot of these big games, teams who I picked to win lost. Tigers lost the World Series. The Thunder lost the NBA Finals. And now this. I've been so disgusted as a fan. And you know what?
I just hope you didn't put no money on that game, though.
I even picked Notre Dame to beat Alabama in the NCAA football championship game. Yeah, that was a mistake, but, oh.
So
God,
what you think about them Wolverines, though, in basketball?
Well, you know what? That was a good game over the weekend. I got a chance to watch the whole game. Indiana's a tough team, especially on their court. Michigan has lost now 15 of their last 16 trips there, so it's no coincidence that, you know, it was a tough game for them to play and a tough game for them to win. But Indiana is tough. Even going back to when Bob Knight used to coach them, and you saw from his body language what he instilled on that team and what they carried over, throwing chairs in the middle of the court, you know, picking fights with officials and things like that. I mean, I think that it was definitely a good game to watch. But do I think it's a game that they can bounce back from? Absolutely. They're playing tonight,
right,
by the way, at home against Ohio State, another team that beat them earlier. In fact, they beat them a few weeks ago, really.
Man,
that was another game that made me sick
to my
stomach.
I hope they give them the business. I can't stand Ohio State.
You know what? I think
Ohio
they
State.
Will. They will.
So,
definitely.
Go Blue, get them mofos the business.
See, that's another team that I don't like. I hated Ohio State.
Me too.
And going back to, the 90s, when they used to battle against Michigan, you know, when they had Jim Tressel as their head coach, I've always hated them. And I used to like Urban Meyer when he coached at Florida. I don't like him no more now that he's taken over the job. And I'm happy that Ohio State has suffered in terms of their punishments for some of their off-the-field issues in terms of recruiting players and things like that.
Right.
They had a good enough record to where they could have been in that title game. But because of their punishment, they couldn't be. So that made me feel happy. That made me feel happy. And I'll be honest with you, any team that faces Ohio State in a big game, I will take that team no matter who that team is. And you notice over the years, Ohio State has lost big games. They've always seemed to choke in those big bowl games.
They're choking
game
the clutch. They're choking the clutch.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's been one of their biggest issues over the years. They just don't seem to show up when it comes down to winning the big game and really establishing yourself and putting a legacy out there that, you know, it's Ohio State. They're one of the longest reigning college teams. I mean, they've been playing football going back to, you know, the late 1800s, you know, early 1900s. I mean, they've been around for a long time, just like Michigan. So these two teams will take the court tonight, and, of course, I'm pulling for Michigan, obviously. I hope they win. I hope they do win, and I believe they will, and I'm looking forward to just watching this. And this game will take place as soon as this show is over, ladies and gentlemen. The game will be on at 9 o'clock on ESPN. So if you have the network, you can tune in and watch it and enjoy it. And if you're picking Michigan like me, you are really going to be tuning in to tonight's game because this game might determine who wins the Big Ten. With Michigan State's kind of like struggles on and off and things like that, this will be a big game to where somebody's got to win and somebody's got to make a statement. Pulling for U of M. I know you're pulling for U of M too. So
you already know.
Bring on the noise. Bring on the noise. Well, thanks again, my friend, for tuning in, man.
No doubt.
You guys are definitely going to be on air this Friday. Tell the people out there a little bit about what they can look forward to on your Friday show.
Well, on the Fab Life Radio Show, we inform and entertain. And this week we will be we have an event coming up this Thursday. It's the Speed d'Etoile Speed Dating event from
It'll be going on
at 6 o'clock at 311 East Grand River at Colors Detroit. So come on down, support the show. You might meet somebody, even if it's nothing but somebody to have a drink with. You know, come out meet me. Come out meet my co-host Superwoman. And let's have some fun together.
Now, you said speed dating, so this is kind of like a pre-Valentine's Day thing or something?
Yep.
Okay, I thought so, because they had something like that last year at some nightclub downtown. In fact, they've been doing it for a few years now. It's kind of like
a speed dating ain't nothing new. They've been doing this for like the last at least 10 years.
Yeah.
So this
yeah,
should be the big thing to me, though.
Yeah.
Because, you never hosted nothing like this. So this should be interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, plus they do the singles event, too, where, you know, single men and single ladies can go to an all-nighter, hook up, have a good time, and maybe get a hotel room or go back to somebody's house if they're lucky, that sort of thing. I just might stop through and see what's going on.
Yeah, come on through, man. Yeah, come on through.
Wait a minute, man, if I can get out there, you know.
And also, we have another event coming up March the 8th, you know, if I may plug it.
Yeah, go for it.
We also have an event for the ladies on March the 8th. It's the International Women's Day Sip and Sushi event. We will be broadcasting the show, the Fab Life Radio Show, live from that event, and that will be at Socrates in Midtown Detroit. You can go to either my Facebook page, go to the Fab Life Radio Show page, or you can go to fabliferadio.info for more information about that event, which will be coming up, and we will have some surprise guests.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And this show has been really growing strong past few months that they've been on air together, and I can attest that it's a great show to listen to. So if you're anywhere near a computer, if you have access to your phone, if you can operate Blog Talk Radio from your phone, you can tune in to the Fab Life Radio Show. You can tune in tonight and future shows on the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Trust me, we're doing some great things. And if you're looking to get into radio, I highly encourage that you do that. You know, go on the network, make a show, make a profile for yourself, you know, and you can do shows like this or whatever you want to talk about. It's your world. Do your thing. That's what we did. So go for it. Do your thing.
And me and Rocket, we started out together.
Yeah, we were on a show called the Black Rocket Blast, which started December 23rd, 2011.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday. And we went through that show for about a good 5 to 6 month period, and then I was the first person to leave the show to start the Rocket Sports Breakdown and make preparations for it. I left back in May of last year. Never really looked back, but I always did kind of tune in as a special guest, kind of help out with things, and you know, just doing what I can to kind of you know contribute in any particular fashion. Of course, you know. We all have moved on. Everybody who's part of that show has moved on to other different things now. But, you know, it's all still the same. You know,
right.
Nothing
it's all
but love
the same.
And respect.
We all still
you know?
Support each other. Support each other's works, as you can see. You know,
Rocky
was on my show last week, and I'm here. Here I am. You know, this is what we do.
And I will also be making a guest appearance on the Fab Life Radio Show. I don't know when, but Rocky will be on there having fun, doing what he normally does and talking about upcoming projects and things like that. So be on the lookout. And, again, thank you for tuning in. And thank you, man, for coming on tonight. That was a good question to ask, too. That would be one of the top you know, questions. They always ask those top questions in the NFL, repeating as a Super Bowl champion. So we'll be seeing that. 2013 NFL season can't get here fast enough, and if you're a true football fan, you're probably going to be bored for the next 6 to 7 months, but
man,
have no fear. Time
man,
flies.
Man, Madden about to get a serious workout.
Time flies, and trust me, the football
right.
season will be back before you know it, and you'll get a chance to watch your favorite teams again. And again, tune in to the upcoming NFL draft that will be taking place on in the month of April. So that's something that you can look forward to seeing what your team's going to do. And, again, the off season is definitely going to be big. So be on the lookout for what your team is going to do. I'd like to thank my guests. Tune in. Before we go on break, Mr. X, again, keep doing your thing, man. Fab Life Radio Show every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Do your thing. Do your thing. So thanks for tuning in, bro. You know, keep doing what you do. And
thanks for having me on the show,
again,
bro.
And again, you know, keep holding down the fort. We're going to take a quick break. Rockin' Nation, we'll be right back to discuss more upcoming information. I got some basketball notes to pass along, games and scores, hockey, and a little bit of college basketball. So stay tuned. And, of course, we're going to be talking more about the off season. So this is the Rockin' Sports Breakdown. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Rocket Nation, welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here taking calls all night. The number is 347-327-9586. Again, that's 347-327-9586. You can call in, speak to Rocket, hang out with him. We got 1 hour, a little bit over an hour left in the broadcast. Continuing where we left off, getting right back into sports as usual. We're having some fun right now. We got five NBA games on coming up tonight. Two of them are actually on right now. One of those games is the Lakers and Brooklyn Nets. That game is tied at 14 right now in the first quarter. And the Atlanta Hawks are winning in Indiana over the Pacers 38-28. That game is in the second quarter. Real quickly, there's been some issues going on with the L.A. Lakers. Even when it seems like they are starting to rack up some wins, there always seems to be a little bit of drama along the way. Now, the artist formerly known as Ron Artest, that's right, Metta World Peace. Well, we all know what his reputation has been like even when he was drafted, going back to his younger days when he was playing. He was suspended after Sunday's game between Detroit, ironically, at the Palace. He got into what looked like a tanglement with Pistons guard Brandon Knight. What happened was, according to reports, he punched him in the jaw. Now, I watched the replay over and over again. It didn't look like he threw a punch. You know, both guys were tangled up with each other. They both was trying to break the hold or whatever. It didn't look like he intentionally threw a punch. It wasn't like him elbowing James Harden last year. That was much worse. Now, that was awarded the suspension. But this, no. And I want to say personally, I think that Brandon Knight certainly overreacted about the whole situation. But, you know, he's a young player. He'll catch on to a lot of different things right now. But everyone knows that World Peace is going to get suspended for things like this. He's going to get fined for certain things like this. He'll be labeled a technical or a flagrant, whatever you want to call it. The Lakers did win the game by 1 point. They barely won. But I don't think that situation should have been awarded a suspension. But he should have seen this one coming. He knew he was going to be suspended for it in his mind, but I don't think it shouldn't have happened. But I'm not David Stern. I don't write the NBA paychecks. I don't make the rules or enforce them for that matter. But it is what it is. It's been done. He's not playing in tonight's game with against Brooklyn, and apparently neither is Dwight Howard. And if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you were really, really hoping that Dwight Howard would take the court tonight. Now, for those of you who don't know, before the season started, everyone had talked about, and a lot of people predicted, that Dwight Howard was going to end up in Brooklyn with the Nets. Here's the problem. Nets couldn't afford him. They spent so much money on Deron Williams, $100 million. Joe Johnson, somewhere between $90 and $95 million. Gerald Wallace, and even some of the players that they brought in. There was no way that they were going to get Dwight Howard unless he took a pay cut. And I don't think he was going to do that. I don't think he wanted to have done that. It is what it is. So that being said, the Lakers stepped up to the plate. They made an offer with the Magic. The Magic simply couldn't refuse the offer. They managed to get two other teams involved in the deal, Denver Nuggets and the Philadelphia 76ers. And Dwight Howard ended up in a Los Angeles Laker. Ended up a Los Angeles Laker. And I think that it was a trade that really, really looked like it was on paper. They was really going to do some big things. But here's the problem. First four or five games into the season, Mike Brown gets fired. What did they do? They bring in Mike D'Antoni, who a lot of people were scratching their heads over, question mark or whatever. I think the problem was they went after him because they knew that Phil Jackson was going to be demanding and a possible return to the team, and he was. He wanted a little bit more control over player operations. He only wanted to coach games at the Staples Center, meaning he wouldn't travel with the team on the road. So what do you do then? Who's going to step up to be the coach? Well, if that's the case, I would have brought in Brian Shaw. That's who I would have brought in. But anyway, going back to Dwight Howard's situation, he had another injury, and this injury looked to be very devastating. Some people labeled it a season-ending injury, I may add. And this has been unfortunate. it's been messed up for not only Dwight Howard, but for the Lakers, because they're shorthanded. They're shorthanded, and the roster is a little bit thin now. And keep in mind that even though some of the other players have been playing better as of lately, Gasol, Jameson, even Nash, of course Kobe is still doing his thing. Even World Peace has been playing a little bit better. But Howard is the guy that they really, really need as much as Kobe to really try and make a playoff push, if they make the playoffs, by the way. This is something that is kind of hurting them right now. Now, Dwight Howard did not play in the game against the Pistons because of his shoulder, his right shoulder, that continues to remain painful. Now, keep in mind, he's also coming off of back surgery where he was really rushing himself to get back with the team and practice and participate in the preseason or whatever. He's not fully healed from that. Now you add in this shoulder injury, that's even worse. So now this guy is going to be totally beaten up the rest of the season. Should they shut him down? No. If he's well enough to play, and he has been well enough to play, but it's hurting, and he's going to be hurting. So I don't know. This is going to be tough for them. But I wanted to take the opportunity to put that out there because I am a Lakers fan, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal. But we'll see what they can do. And, again, it's still not too late. They can still make a playoff push, but it's going to be tough in the Western Conference with all these other teams playing so good right now. They're not even in the top eight right now. They're barely in the top 10 in terms of standings. So they're really on the outside looking in. But they got a few months to really get this thing together, and it comes down to Kobe, Nash, Gasol, World Peace, and the bench players. They really have to step up and play better. This team has to play better. They can't afford to make mistakes. They got to be better on the defensive side, although they have a head coach who really doesn't care about defense. But you got to play better on that side of the ball, period. Now, looking back on the Super Bowl, everyone talks about the whole blackout situation and Beyonce's halftime performance, which I didn't watch, by the way, because I'm not a fan of her either. I'm sorry. I'm just being true. I'm being honest. I never really cared for her or her music. But anyway, people saying that she showed a sign of Illuminati, which kind of makes me laugh because I'm thinking, haven't we been over this whole Illuminati business already, the Tupac and Biggie business or whatever? Anyway, no, folks. Okay, I'm pretty sure there was a technical issue inside the Superdome Sunday night. That's what I think happened. No. Did she do anything that contributed to that? No, okay. But it is something to joke about, though. And believe me, most of us were joking about it. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the whole nine. We all have been joking about this. But no, no. Let it go, folks. Let it go. Let it go. I've never seen anything like this in the Super Bowl, ever. Ever. Any type of delay whatsoever. I've never seen anything like it. I've never witnessed it before. But it's funny to me. And the thing is, you know, people are labeling her the scapegoat for that whole particular situation, which makes me laugh because, I mean, seriously. But whatever. What's done can't be undone. The power went out, you know. It is what it is, folks. Let it go. Let it go. It's going to be something we'll be joking about for a while. And we'll see if they invite her to future Super Bowl events, too, by the way. I don't know. I think that whole thing was just a technical issue. Took about 30 minutes for the whole thing to be resolved and play continued. But I think the Niners would have attempted to make a comeback regardless because, like I said earlier, they're way too talented, way too well coached, way too physical of a football team to be in a deficit like that. Not on the grand stage. You want to play your best football on the grandest stage. So that's my whole thing on that particular situation. And, again, folks, let it go. Let it go, okay? Let it go. Let's move on. But getting back to the NBA, like I said, we have five games tonight. Two of them are currently on right now. We have three more games coming up. We got Golden State at Houston tonight. That's getting ready to tip off right now. Phoenix and Memphis, that's also getting ready to tip off. And tonight, after this show is over, we got Milwaukee and Denver. All of these games are shaping out to be good games, and all of these games are going to have playoff implications. Again, you know, counting the Lakers and the Nets game right now, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. That's going to be a good game. I'll be checking out the highlights later on tonight. If you have NBA TV, you can check that out on your local television programming. This is a game that they'll be talking about quite a lot. Just the matchup, these are two of the better offensive teams in the league. Golden State is such a good team on the road. They have been playing so good. I know that Mike Woodson has really done some good things with the New York Knicks, but Mark Jackson with the Golden State Warriors, to me, I'm picking him to be the coach of the year. For starters, the Golden State Warriors have not been in the playoffs since 2007. They've gone through a few coaching changes. They've gone through roster changes. They've made a few trades here and there. They traded away Monte Ellis to Milwaukee. They brought in guys like Andrew Bogut, who I think is going to be a pivotal player for them, because one thing that this Warriors team has lacked over the years is a big man. You have to have a big man if you're going to make a playoff push in the NBA Finals, towards the NBA Finals, I should say. You have to have a big man, especially in the Western Conference, where you can really go up against guys like a Tim Duncan, like a Dwight Howard, like the big man that the OKC team has, like the big man that the Clippers have, and some of the other teams that have big men as well. You have to have a big man, and I think that Bogut is a guy that can help them out in that category. So the Golden State Warriors are a team we really should pay attention to the rest of the way, because they're a team that's really – they could sneak up and surprise somebody. They could really sneak up and surprise somebody. They could surprise San Antonio. Let's say they go up against the Spurs. They could surprise a team like them. Memphis. First of all, everyone's talking about the trade, the three-team trade between the – Grizzlies, the Raptors, and the Pistons, where the Grizzlies were able to get Tayshaun Prince and a couple other players. The Pistons were able to get Jose Calderon. Toronto was able to get Rudy Gay. Memphis had to make this move, folks. I know a lot of people were upset about it. I know a lot of people were upset, but Memphis had to get rid of Rudy Gay's contract. Detroit had to get rid of Tayshaun Prince's contract, period. This is something that the Pistons had talked about doing. I know they had. Tayshaun's name had been talked about in trade bait for the past year now, because if you think about their team, they're moving on from, you know, the core veteran players going back to when they was competing for championships, when they had the championship in 04. They cut Rip Hamilton last year. Ben Wallace retired. Tayshaun Prince has now been traded. So that's it. Nobody left from the 04 championship team, folks. Everybody is gone. It's something that had to be done, period. Tayshaun Prince had $15 million on his contract for the next 2 years. Cutting him, the Pistons will have over $30 million in their salary cap. And if they get rid of other players this offseason, if they let go of guys like Will Bynum, Corey Maggette, even Jason Maxfield, they'll have even up to about $40 million to where they can go after a big-name player. One thing that has hurt them recently, the past few years, is that they have not been able to go after a big man. They have not been able to contribute in that factor because, well, they signed Charlie Villanueva to this monster contract a few years ago. They signed Ben Gordon to the same type of deal, but he's no longer with the team. So they cut him. They let him go. They traded him to Charlotte. They had to get rid of his contract because he was a disappointing player. But people are upset when it comes to deals and things like that. Rudy Gay was making has a big contract, and the Grizzlies had to get rid of him so they can save some cap space as well. And let's be honest, Rudy Gay had been also discussed in trade bait as well. The Grizzlies feel like they can win without him, and he's also battled injuries the past couple years. He did not partake in the postseason 2 years ago when they beat the Spurs in the first round with that big playoff upset. So That being said, they felt like he was expendable. He really isn't the top option on the team if you think about it. That's Zach Randolph. Mark Gasol is also top option. Mike Conley, he's also another top option. He's the ball distributor, so he's the playmaker now. They feel like they can win without him, and rightfully so. Definitely. So why not trade him to another team where he can really, really contribute and do some things? But the question for Rudy Gay will be, well, can he stay healthy? Now, he's going to a bad Raptors team right now. He's going to fill seats at the stadium every home game. But can he take the Raptors to the postseason? That remains to be seen. But I will say this, though. I think Memphis is another team you really should look out for. The Western Conference, to me, oh, my goodness, I'm so excited for the Western Conference postseason because I think somebody's going to be upsetting in the first round. I really do. So if you're San Antonio, if you're OKC, if you're the Clippers, better watch yourselves. Because teams like Memphis, Golden State, and Denver, those are the teams that are going to be challenging you in the first round. Those are the teams you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with those offenses, those type of players, those type of skill sets, that type of talent, period, bar none. You're going to have to deal with that. And I'm excited for what the Western Conference playoffs is going to do this year. So this will be something to be talked about. This will be something to be discussed. So, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Moving on to the NHL, we got some scores to pass along to you real quickly. First of all, if you're a hockey fan, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot of you out there who are, it's good to see hockey back. I'm pretty sure you all are happy about that now, and you should be. You've waited for so long. You were so hoping that a deal would get done and that things would be negotiated with contracts and things like that. So more power to you, definitely. And it is good to see hockey back. Whether you watch the sport or not, it's good to see hockey back because it's a respected sport. It's a professional, respected sport. And, again, it's good to see, you know, teams take the ice again. Now, to pass along some scores real quickly, we got the Rangers losing to the New Jersey Devils 2-0. The Pittsburgh Penguins are up over the New York Islanders 1-0 right now. That game's in the second quarter. Both of those games are in the second quarter. The Los Angeles Kings and the Columbus Blue Jackets are tied at 1 in the second period. Toronto is up 2-1 over Washington. The second period is just underway. Buffalo is down in Ottawa, 3-1. And that's just the first period, folks. Wow, 3-1 already, my goodness. Calgary, oh, my goodness, they're beating my Detroit Red Wings 2-0 right now. That game is in the first period. Tampa Bay and Philadelphia are scoreless in the first period, as well as Nashville and St. Louis. Florida and Winnipeg, that game's just getting ready to start. And later tonight, Chicago and San Jose will take the ice at 10:30 Eastern. Well, it's good to see hockey back. It's good to see hockey back. And I gotta say, Chicago, they are really taking the league by storm right now. I don't think they've lost a game yet. That's how crazy and wild that they are playing right now. They are just doing their thing, and, you know, more power to them. Of course, you know, I got to stick with my Red Wings all the way. They're losing right now, but you can't count them out. You really can't count them out. This is going to be quite an interesting season in the NHL because it's a short season, but also at the same time, that gives teams really – it's really an open run. You really can't say somebody's just going to dominate the league. You really can't say. It's going to be wide open as far as players are concerned because they feel like their chance to really step up and do some things is right here, right now. And I will say that if you have a chance and if you really feel like you can win a Stanley Cup and at least get to the Stanley Cup and win, this is your time. This is your time right now. This is your time. So more power to the NHL. Happy to see them back. Happy to see them do what they're doing. And this will be one of those seasons where it's a wide-open run to the Stanley Cup. It's a wide-open run to the Stanley Cup. Moving on to MLB, the NHL, Major League Baseball, Everyone's talking about the whole Alex Rodriguez situation, how he just tarnished himself completely with these whole performance-enhancing drugs situations that have come out. Now, everyone knows he confessed a few years ago to taking it, which really, really, really diminished him completely. And if you notice, when the Yankees played the Tigers in the postseason, he just didn't look nothing like himself. This is one of those things where karma plays into it, and it comes back to bite you in the rear end. Because if you think about it, he just looks slower now. He just looks slow. He looks beat up. He rarely played. He wasn't even a difference maker. So now what? What do you do? What do you do about that? Now, looking at the MLB headlines right now, and we got a few stories to pass along to you real quickly, because actually spring training begins next month. So baseball, they get a short off season because they play so many games, but spring training technically is right around the corner. And we're going to see teams really, really do some things right from the start, right from the get-go. Kyle Farnsworth, who's a former Tiger, former Brave, and second base outfielder Kelly Johnson have signed 1-year contracts with the Tampa Bay Rays. Farnsworth's contract is a base salary of $1.25 million for the upcoming season. He missed most of last year with an elbow strain that he actually sustained during spring training and only played in 34 games last year. He went 1-for-6 throughout that time. Johnson, last year for Toronto, for the Blue Jays, batted .225 with 16 home runs and 55 RBIs. His contract is $2.5 million, which includes performance bonuses of $50,000 each for 550 and 600 plate appearances. So congrats to those guys for getting their 1-year contracts. While there's good news for one team, there is bad news for another. And this is something that came out today. Chris Carpenter, who's one of the more popular players in the MLB, one of the best clutch pitchers recently for the St. Louis Cardinals, looks like he may have thrown his final pitch. According to Yahoo.com, general manager John Mosliak and manager Mike Matheny announced today that he won't pitch. Carpenter won't pitch in 2013, and that his career is probably over after recurrence of a nerve injury that really cost him much of last year. He's 37. They're not going to put out the retirement news just yet, but he won't be playing, it appears, in 2013. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate because he's had quite a historic run recently for the Cardinals. Even though they lost to the Giants in the postseason, he played exceptionally well. And he played as well. He's played as well as he could have played over the years, really. He's done what he has. In his postseason career, he's had 18 starts. He's gone 10-4. And he beat my Tigers in 2006. He's done some big things. And it's just sad because he's such a popular player right now. He's so good, and this is unfortunate. This is unfortunate. It hurts. So to the Cardinals organization, it's gotten worse for them, mainly because not only of how their season ended last year, but this really hurts. This really hurts for them. This is something that you hate to have to see happen to any team and any player, really. But that's just the way it is sometimes. But I hope he doesn't retire. I hope he can come back and pitch at least one more season. I don't know if he'll be this year or not, but I will say that it's tough. It's tough and it's unfortunate. It's really tough and it's really unfortunate. And, yeah, that hurts. That hurts for them. But I will say whatever happens, he'll definitely go down as one of the best pitchers in the MLB today. And, you know, can't take away what he's accomplished. That is for certain. That is definitely for certain. Moving on to college basketball, we got some games that are already in the mix right now. We got number 2 Florida. They're losing, ladies and gentlemen. Number 2 Florida, they're losing in Arkansas, badly, to an unranked Arkansas team. They're losing 49-26. The game's in the second half right now. The second half just tipped off. Purdue right now is leading in Penn State 31-26. Villanova is leading DePaul 53-47. Number 8, Miami, Florida. They're hosting Boston College and winning, by the way, 43-29. Wake Forest is losing badly to North Carolina 58-35. North Carolina is unranked this season, folks, for the first time in I don't know how long. Number 13, Kansas State right now is leading Texas Tech 9-7. That game has just tipped off in the first half. Like I said, tonight, Ohio State number 10, visiting number 3 Michigan. Ohio State was the first team to beat Michigan this year. They beat them last month. I am so ticked off over that game. I'm not over that, and I won't be over until Michigan beats Ohio State tonight, and I hope they do. That game will be tipping off 9 o'clock on ESPN, so nationally televised, we all get a chance to watch it. You can tune over to that game right after this broadcast. I'm looking forward to it. That game is about 40 minutes from now. Go Blue. Go Blue. Two other games tonight. South Carolina will be against Kentucky. That game will be 9 o'clock on ESPNU, so you get a chance to watch that game if you have the ESPNU network. And Florida State will tip off against Georgia Tech. That game will also be at 9 o'clock Eastern. So, got some good games playing right now. We got an upset in the midst right now. How demoralizing would it be if Florida loses to Arkansas, being the number 2 team, losing to an unranked opponent? Demoralizing. Just demoralizing right now. That game is on ESPN2, so you can tune in to that game if you like. Just mute your television sets while you're listening to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. That's all I ask. No pun intended. We're getting ready to take another break right now. And coming up, we're going to discuss the NFL offseason. Who is going to do what? And we got some news to post. We got some cuts already from one team, which is my team, by the way. So we got that to talk about. We also got a few other cuts to pass along. Coaching changes, too. We're going to be discussing a little bit of that. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown, folks. We are doing what we do. And, again, thank you all for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We got 30 minutes remaining in our broadcast. Rocket is still here, hanging out, having fun. Feels great to be back on air after a month away. Feeling a little kind of rusty, but, you know, it gets better with time. We're going to spend the last portion of our show talking about the upcoming NFL offseason, which won't really officially get underway until next month. So, but as you know, the free agency period doesn't begin until March. We got the draft coming up in April, and then this summer, training camp kicks back. And then August, the preseason starts, and then September, 2013 season will be underway. And rest assured, it's going to come back real, real quickly, quicker than you can imagine, quicker than you expect. And believe me, this is something that a lot of us are really, really going to be looking forward to. And just think about this. Think about, you know, what your teams are going to do, what type of roster moves you're going to make, and all these other things that, you know, coaches go through and players and owners and things like that. Again, this is something that's going to be big. So we'll see what they're going to do. Oh, real quickly, I want to throw this in here real quickly. If you are a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, your team is now going to be sporting a new logo, and they announced it today. Not sure if this is something that's going to be a plus. It looks more updated. It looks okay. It's not that much different from the other, but you be the judge. You be the judge. We'll see. We'll see about this one. Just last year, the Carolina Panthers were the last team to update their logo. They redesigned their logo, and now it's the Jaguars' turn. So that's also something else that you have to take into consideration. Teams who update their logos, uniforms, footwear, helmets, things like that, even your stadium. And Ford Field has also updated their stadium as well, introducing field turf, by the way. So that's also something to look forward to. Usually teams who play indoors usually update their surfaces a little bit. Well, speaking of Ford Field and the Lions, and yes, I am a Detroit Lions fan. I'm not going to lie to you. They have had quite a past couple of days. well, this is what's been going down so far. The Lions, Rams, Giants, and Browns have cut players so far these past couple of days. Titus Young was the first player to be cut by Detroit, and that was no accident. That was not by surprise. I just want to say that real quickly. That's not an accident. That's not something that, okay, well, you know, we got to save cap space. No, it wasn't. We know why they cut him. They had to. And I think about a lot of these receivers that this team has drafted and they spent a lot of money on for the past decade or so, and some of those guys are not even in the league anymore. In fact, if I can recall, the wide receivers they drafted, not named Calvin Johnson, are not in the league anymore, except Ryan Broyles, who they drafted last year. But who else? Charles Rogers, gone. Roy Williams, gone. Mike Williams, I don't even know if he's still on a roster right now. So what? So what's the big deal? What's going to happen? So the Lions cut him. Kyle VandenBosch, their defensive end, their offensive guard, Stephen Peterman, no longer with the team. VandenBosch came off a disappointing season last year, only 3.5 sacks. He was scheduled to count $10.7 million against the salary cap this upcoming season. This is something that they felt like they had to do. His leadership would be missed a little bit, but, again, sometimes you got to move on. Peterman was an 8-year veteran who played the last 6 years in Detroit, but they had to cut ties with him as well, and it was time for him to move on because he was by far their worst offensive lineman this past year. He had to go. He had to go. I'm glad he's gone. Sometimes you got to dust players off to the side and figure out what's best for your front line in this particular situation. The Cleveland Browns cut defensive end Frosty Rucker, who only spent just 1 year with the team. So now they're definitely going to be a team that's really going to be making some moves. They're bringing in a new head coach. They're going to be bringing in possibly a new general manager, and they're also going to be bringing in new players. And the quarterback spot has not been resolved, folks. Brandon Wheaton apparently is going to be fighting for starting quarterback competition next season. The Giants have released linebacker Michael Boley, who was, kind of a solid okay player. He wasn't a big-name player that you talked about a lot. His career, tenure has been slowed by injuries. This was a salary cap situation, by the way. They can save now $3.8 million of the $4.25 million base salary he was owed in 2013. So now they saved him some money, and this is something that they felt like they had to do. And, again, more power to them. So far, those are a lot of the names who have been cut. And trust me, there will be more along the way. Who? That remains to be seen. So this is, again, the offseason's gotten off to a great start already. I can't complain. I can't complain. As a Lions fan, no, I cannot complain whatsoever. And I think that this is something they had to do. And, again, there will be more cuts. It won't be just those three players. And some of the other players who've been cut from other teams out there, they won't be the only ones. Every team is going to cut players, period. That's just the way it is. Every team is going to cut players. And, again, this is something that had to be done. And I'm glad they did it. Well, before I get into the whole coaching portion of our main event topic, we have a caller on the air. 313 out of the D. Sounds cool. Caller, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is Lisa.
Lisa, is this who I think it is?
Yep, it's me. Hey,
well, welcome
I,
to the broadcast.
Well, good.
Thank
I was just wanted to give you a call because you know, always want to support you. But I am so happy Titus Young is gone because I think when I found out that he lined up deliberately out of position, I was done with him. And I just wonder what took them so long to cut him because I just think that he's selfish and he hasn't shown at any time that he's a team guy. So I just think he should have been run out of town a long time ago. Now, I'm sad to see Vanden Bosch go, but I think his age was starting to catch up with him, and I'm really glad Peterman is gone. The next person I'd like to see is Gaster Cheryl is gone, too.
That's something that's definitely possible in the works. I think they're also looking to revamp the entire offensive line, and the secondary certainly needs work. I think the reason why they held on to Young as long as they did was they valued his talent. They really wanted him to be the heir apparent to Calvin Johnson and be that second target, be that second option, the guy that can line up, catch passes up the middle, utilize his speed, his quickness, that sort of thing, be that guy that can take the pressure off of Calvin. I think they drafted him for that particular purpose. So now, by cutting him, looks like they're going to be relying on Ryan Broyles a little bit more often. Once he heals from his injury that he had surgery on at the end of last season, this is a guy that expectations will be much higher on in 2013 because I think that Burleson is starting to come of age a little bit too. And anytime you're a wide receiver past 30 who suffers a devastating injury, especially anywhere from the waist down, you know, your legs, your knees, your ankles, that sort of thing really has to be looked into long term. So now you got to figure out, well, who else can we develop? They still got Mike Thomas. I don't know what they're going to do with him long term. But they're also going to be probably looking to bring in another wide receiver this offseason. Hopefully they won't do that in at the top part of the draft, you know, like the first two or three rounds, because I think that they need to work on the defense a little bit more.
What do you think they're going to do with Javid Best?
Well, apparently rumors I've been hearing is that he's probably going to have to retire. Now, I think Martin Mayhew released a statement recently that he's not ready to fully give up on him because he still feels like he can possibly try and come back from something like this. You know, in this era, when you, no matter who you are really, when you suffer a devastating concussion-like injury, it really puts a damper on, you know, the continuation of your career. And it's a shame because he's a very explosive player, especially coming out of the backfield, catching passes. He's got decent vision as a runner. I actually felt like he's better than LeSueur. The problem was he's just had an issue staying healthy, and it wasn't just this concussion issue. It was the turf toe he suffered his rookie year. That was something else that hurt him quite a bit. So it's unfortunate when you invest in a player like that and his career becomes hammered with injuries, especially more than one. But this is something that still can be looked into a little bit. But I think what could happen is if he does retire, I think that they should just keep him within the organization and continue to have him test and, you know, work him out, you know, fitness and training and things like that. And if he feels well enough to where he can take hits, then, you know, have him come out of retirement and help out the team. Or any other team that, let's say, he doesn't, you know, end up with Detroit next year or the year after. So that's something that they can look into a little bit. But it's tough, though. It's tough because I really enjoyed watching him play when he played. And this is just something that was just devastating. And
exactly.
In this league where, you know, 99.9% of it is business, they just might pull the plug.
Right. Well, you know, I'm enjoying your show, and so I appreciate you a whole lot.
Well, thank you for supporting. Thank you for supporting me personally. I really appreciate it. I always look forward to a lot of things you say on my Facebook page. So thank you. Thank you for being who you are and showing support. And I really respect it. I really, you know, love it. You know, I can't complain. So thank you.
Thank you
for tuning in tonight.
And thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look forward to future guest appearances. Anytime you ever want to be a co-host, you are more than welcome to contact me, and we can definitely, you know, I can definitely put you on as a partner on the show, you know, any night that you're available.
Okay, let me know, and I'll be more than happy to do it.
My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Lisa Morris, who is an actress much like me, who also performs and does great things. And be on the lookout for her. She's got a movie coming out with Denzel Washington this summer. It'll be released in Los Angeles. I got my tickets already. My cousin, he's going to be bootlegging the picture. So if you can't afford it, because, you know, the movie's going to gross over millions of dollars. So so we'll work out that in a variety of ways. But thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and you know, keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully you'll tune in to the big game, Michigan-Ohio State, which will be happening in about 20 minutes from now. So thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Good night.
You too. Lisa Morris, ladies and gentlemen, another guest we had call into the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Just a brilliant, phenomenal sports mind. A female sports mind at that, I should say. It's not often I come across a lot of women who possess a certain level of intelligence in sports. So she's a rare jewel, definitely. Getting back to the coaching situation, coaches and players are always talked about as far as what are they going to do this off season. Who are they going to sign with? Who's going to be the guy that's going to come in and you know, take the coaching reins of the team? Now, as you know, we got a lot of coaching changes right now. Most notably, Andy Reid is going to be a coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I remember putting it on my Facebook page that I feel sorry for Jamal Charles, because I'm telling you right now, Jamaal Charles has been one of the NFL's best runners the past 3 years. He is not going to have those same type of running stats with Andy Reid coaching. I don't think so. Because we all saw what happened with Brian Westbrook during his time in Philadelphia. We all have witnessed what his career looked like, not getting a lot of running touches, not getting a lot of opportunities to be an effective runner because Reed likes to throw the ball 50, 55 times a game. And I think that's one of the reasons why Donovan McNabb's career ended the way it did, because he just looked tired as a passer, suffering injuries, throwing the ball so much, having to scramble and run for his life at times because the line couldn't block for him. To me, I think that was a big issue. And a lot of people have criticized Andy Reid consistently for failing to run the football. And that's something that really hurt him because they got a good runner in LeSean McCoy. And I don't think he got enough opportunities, honestly. Honestly, that's my whole situation on that. Thinking about, you know, Chip Kelly now, who's going to take over the Philadelphia Eagles team. A lot of people are wondering, well, what are they going to do with Michael Vick? Should they move on from him? Should they stick with Nick Folk? Do they feel like Nick Folk is the answer? Well, here's the thing. This is kind of like the equivalent of the whole Donovan McNabb, Kevin Cobb situation. Eagles fans were ready to run McNabb out of town, mainly for the simple fact that they were already sold on Cobb before he even took the field. They felt like Cobb was going to be the guy to lead them to a championship and lead them to the promised land. And what happens? Cobb, when he finally gets his chance to play, he doesn't really show much. Then he gets traded. He gets traded a year after McNabb gets traded. Cobb gets traded to the Cardinals, and then he goes over there and competes with John Skelton for the starting quarterback job, and he has trouble staying on the field. So he's already proven to be not only a trade bust, but on more than one occasion, you know, a draft bust as well. So you add all of that into the whole equation, and you think about this whole particular situation with Michael Vick and Nick Folk, are they ready to move on with him? I was listening to First Take. Stephen A. Smith made a statement about cutting Michael Vick and the Eagles should just let him go. And I will say this. If they decide to keep him, I think they should look to trade Michael Vick if the Eagles keep him under contract, if they don't let him go. Because the thing is this. Michael Vick will probably attract a handful of teams this offseason who need a quarterback. And to me, I can think of three teams right now: Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Arizona. Ironically, Arizona, right? Right, Arizona. I think Arizona's quarterback issue has not been resolved yet. And why not go to a team where you get a chance to throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald, who's still one of the top five receivers in the game? You go to Jacksonville, well, assuming that they keep Maurice Jones-Drew, you got a running back who can complement you. You got an upcoming young wideout, Justin Blackmon, who has shown at times this past season that he can be a better passer. You also got a young team that, well, they got a new coach. They're going to be still at the bottom of the rung a little bit, but maybe you can keep that team in Jacksonville if you sign with them, because it doesn't look like they're going to get Tim Tebow, and it doesn't look like that whole thing is going to work out whatsoever. Then let's say you possibly go to Cleveland. Well, they drafted Brandon Whedon last year. They drafted Trent Richardson. So you already got some young pieces right now. You got a young running back who has shown you he can get the bulk of the carries, who can be an efficient runner, who can be the focal point of your offense, who can be the type of guy that can carry your team. I think that if something like that would have possibly happened where Michael Vick ends up in a Browns uniform, then that's something that they can really, really look into. And that's another team that's going to have a new head coach in 2013. So you look at some of these teams and it's like, okay, well, what's going to happen now with, you know, some of your veteran core type players, players who have spent so many years with one team, like Ed Reed in Baltimore. Will Ed Reed be back in Baltimore? That remains to be seen. I don't think he will be, though. I think either he's going to retire or he's going to move on to a different team. And I say that because will they be able to keep him? If you got to re-sign Joe Flacco, who's probably, you know, who's definitely well-deserving of a bigger contract because of what he's done, you know, I'll give that to him. So what does that say for some of the other players that you have to re-sign? And then all these other teams who really have to spend a lot of money to keep some of their other players, you know, the guys that are your main players, the guys that, you know, are responsible and are going to be responsible for the amount of success that you have. What are you going to do about that situation? What are you going to do about teams who are looking to, you know, expand themselves a little bit and do certain things to where they can be looking to do certain things like, you know, making plays and, you know, coming up with schemes and stuff like that. So you got to look into that a little bit. And check this out. The St. Louis Rams, who are in desperate need of a wide receiver, have decided to take Titus Young. Jeff Fisher is certainly going to have his hands full with this one. That I can tell you right now. That I can tell you right now. wow. So one day after the Lions cut Titus Young, the St. Louis Rams claim him off of waivers. Wow. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. You already played for one young team, and you're going to a younger team who, you know what? The thing is, the Rams, they do need a wide receiver. They do need someone for Sam Bradford to throw the ball to. But is Titus Young the answer? Is Titus Young the guy? So my thing is, how can you have off-the-field issues with one team who's got good wide receivers, a good quarterback to throw the ball, and just a good offensive set, and you go to another team that, I don't know, they're not going to win a lot of games with their offense, that's for certain. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know about this signing. This is something that, you know, if you're the Rams, you really need to think about what you're going to do. Now, his base salary for 2013 is scheduled to be $555,000. Last year, he came off a year where he caught 33 passes for 383 yards and 4 touchdowns. And the problem is he going to be the guy where when expectations are high on you, and you have an opportunity to really establish yourself at the respective position that you are playing, can you? Can you exceed expectations? Can you be the guy that steps up and do what you have to do when you are being counted on? And granted, it looks like he's going to be counted on a lot because they don't have a wide out to throw the ball to. They don't have wide receivers or tight ends that they can really, really throw the ball to consistently. So that being said, Can he do it? Can he be the guy? Can he be the guy? Can he be the guy? And I want to know for sure what this Rams team is going to be looking to do, because this is the same Rams team who, well, they had a tie game with the 49ers in the first meeting, and then they beat them in the second. So you have that on your resume. You're playing in a tough division where, let's be honest, all four defenses were tough. The Rams do have a tough defense. Don't get me wrong. The Cardinals, when they were 4-0, they had a very good defense. And even throughout the course of the season, they still show nice flashes on that side of the ball. And, of course, you've got the 49ers and Seahawks, two outstanding defenses, hard-hitting physical defenses, I should say. So defense will be the key in this division. But it never hurts to have some good offensive pieces. And if you feel like Titus Young is the guy that's going to thwart defenses like San Francisco's and Seattle's, well, you go right on ahead and take that guy. I'm telling you right now, Jeff Fisher, you're going to have your hands full with him. You're definitely going to have your hands full with them. I think that all these other teams are going to really, really have some issues just manifesting, you know, players who are either going to be free agents or unrestricted free agents or players who will be back with the team. It's already getting off to where we're going to find out who's going to step up and who's going to be the busiest. But that doesn't necessarily translate into success. We all know that Philadelphia, you know, before the start of last year, was the busiest team during the offseason bringing in these players, and yet they have not made the playoffs since acquiring these players. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know how it works. Sometimes it's one thing to get players to come into your team, but you have to have the coaching. You got to get these players to feed into your system. You got to get these players to really buy into what you're trying to do. And are they going to be comfortable doing that? Are they going to be comfortable doing that? And you also got to think about who wants to play for your team. Some players won't go to sign with the team that has a bad record, that hasn't done anything, that hasn't been in the playoffs in a while, you know, and even not wanting to play for a team because you don't want to live in those conditions. We've had that happen a lot in this league. I also want to think about teams who didn't reach the Super Bowl, teams like the Patriots, the Broncos, the Packers. What are those teams going to do? What are those teams going to do? You got to think about the future of some of players like Michael Vick. You got to think about the futures of players like Randy Moss. Randy Moss is going to be a free agent when the free agency period officially begins. Will he be back with the 49ers? Technically, I don't think he will be. Mario Manningham will be back from his injury. He will be the second option. Crabtree will be the first option from the wide receiver position. So that makes Randy Moss expendable. However, I don't think Randy Moss's career is over. I think he has a chance to sign with another team. But here's the problem. Will he be happy with that team? What Super Bowl contending team will look to bring Randy Moss in? Well, I think the Denver Broncos should take a stab at him. I really think they should. Why not? He'll be on the same team with the quarterback that he came into the 1998 draft with. Many people don't remember that those two guys were drafted the same year. They've gone head-to-head a few times, most notably when Randy Moss was with New England and when Peyton Manning was with Indianapolis, when the Colts and Patriots had their outstanding rivalry during that particular era. I think the Broncos should attempt to go after Randy Moss if he's not re-signed by San Francisco when the free agency period begins. So that's something you have to look at. Expectations will be higher on certain teams next year. Teams like Seattle, like and Washington, and Indianapolis. Three teams who I didn't expect to make the playoffs. I didn't expect none of those three teams to be as good as they were. So expectations, that being said, will be even higher, much higher on those three teams. And those three quarterbacks, RG3, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, expectations would be higher on them. Then you also got to look at some of the other teams like Minnesota. What are they going to do, you know, to revamp, to bulk up their offense? Because you can't just have Adrian Peterson. You know, they got to figure out what are they going to do with their passing game. What are they going to do with their tight ends, wide receivers, because they need some. They need some. And that defense is going to need some revamping too. They really do. And you also got to look at the core of other players such as other teams like the Houston Texans, like the New England Patriots, like the Green Bay Packers, like the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton will be back as their head coach next season. So I expect the Saints to be back in the postseason next year. I really do. Also, the Atlanta Falcons, what are they going to do? Will Tony Gonzalez be back? A lot of people would have liked to have seen him in the Super Bowl against Ray Lewis, retirement versus retirement game. what's going to happen with him. That's something else to look forward to this offseason, folks, and I promise you, this will be fun. Well, folks, it's been a great installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. First of all, I'd like to say thank you all for tuning in tonight. I'd like to say a special thank you to Andre Harris, a.k.a. Mr. X, and Lisa Morris for calling in tonight. You guys have been outstanding guests. Looking forward to having you both on in future broadcasts. Lisa Morris, by the way, I will be in negotiations with her to have her come on as a future co-host because she's got some good sports knowledge. She's very, very brilliant, very intelligent, very skilled, and very beautiful, very attractive, I should say. So, again, thank you both for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who's been a guest on this show up to this point. We'll be back, and we'll have more regarding the offense off-season in the NFL, more NBA, more NHL, more college basketball. March Madness is getting ready to come up, folks. March Madness is right around the corner. Next week or the next time I'll be back on air, I will have a special broadcast for the NBA All-Star Weekend, looking back on some of the great outstanding moments in the history of the NBA All-Star Game, the dunk contest, three-point shootout, and the All-Star Game itself, and looking forward to this upcoming offseason. This has been another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. It was so great to be back on after a month being away. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. See you next time.